Good morning. Glad you're here this morning. Really glad you're here. By the way, didn't Tiffany do a great job on the announcements? Besides that, she's a lot prettier than I am, I have to admit. Okay. Take sarcasm to get an amen in this place. We'll see what you do with the word. There you go. I got a handsome up here, so I'm good to go. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, if you will, please. God is good, amen.
So that's your view, and that's our view.
You're out of order. All right, bring it together. It's good to have fun. Now let's get with God and hear what He has to say. The last couple of weeks, I've preached on wisdom. Where do we get our wisdom from? Do we get it from above, or we get it from the world? And so today I want to talk about his view and our view in light of what we've learned the last couple of weeks. And, you know, from the beginning of this church's existence over 9 years ago, the Lord gave us a tagline to remind us how He relates to us. And that tagline says, real people, real life, and a real God. See, He wants us to always be real with ourselves, real with each other, and real with Him. And I believe that tagline reminds us to do that constantly. And it's not easy. It's not easy because that goes against the flesh, that is our human nature. So we have to constantly be striving in those areas. Being real people, doing real life, knowing there's a real God. You know, for the last 2 weeks, as I said, we've talked about the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world, and about how each of those, each is filtered into our lives through either the spirit or through the mind, and how that wisdom, depending on if it's filtered from the spirit or from the humanistic nature, how that wisdom influences our decisions, which are made in the soul. If you remember the last couple of weeks, we talked about we're all made up of spirit, body or flesh, and soul. And that spirit and that flesh war against one another because they war against one another for the right to influence the decisions made in our soul. You know, have you ever thought, as you've looked at some of God's principles in the Bible, have you ever thought that God just doesn't get it? Now, maybe you haven't put it in those exact words like that. But you know, we've really certainly had it in our thinking and in our decisions, which are made in the soul. Let me give you a couple examples. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. He says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also." And then in verse 43, he says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Now, from a human point of view, does either of those make sense? No, if we're honest, they don't. Not in a human perspective, they don't make sense. No way. So apparently, we can see right away that our view and God's view can be vastly different. Radically different, because those are radical statements, aren't they? Yes. And this is where most Christians struggle, because we have a natural affinity to look at things from our perspective or our reasoning. In other words, our view. And not from Holy Spirit's perspective, which is God's view. You see, it really becomes a trust issue. Because how can you trust in something that doesn't make sense in your mind? Right? That's hard to do, isn't it? So in light of those scriptures that we just read, I want us to look at another scripture in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 8. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. The Lord is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And he says in verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So when we read what we just read in Matthew chapter 5, we have to filter it through this passage right here. In fact, we have to filter much of our lives through these passages right here we just read in Isaiah. Let me ask you a question. Are God's thoughts and ways good?
Yes.
Are God's thoughts and ways better than ours?
Yes.
Then the question is, and it's the basis of the whole message today, do we believe that? Because often His thoughts and His ways don't make sense. And so we struggle with that. So we have to contend with this scripture, this passage right here in Isaiah 55. And we have to contend with whether we believe that or not, and whether we trust that that's true or not in everyday life. So, you with me?
Yes.
All right. Now it's going to get a little tight now, but it's right. Okay, flip over a couple pages to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, probably just one turn of the page, maybe two. He says in the first verse, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins." In verse 2, "Yet they seek me daily, delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God." And then the people say, "Why have we fasted?" They say, "You have not seen. Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure," he says, "and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes all over? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness and undo the heavy burdens from your lives," is what he's saying, "to let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke that is on you? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, that you bring to your house the poor, those who are cast out?" In chapter 58, God is showing his people, he's speaking to them through the prophet, about their religious existence and why he rejects that. Do you know God rejects religion? Just religion in and of itself? Whenever a prophet points out the sins and the shortcomings of religious people, It stirs things up. But let me ask you, when you go to a physician, do you expect him or her to tell you exactly what your physical condition is? Or do you want them to just, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, or and give you half the story? Or do you want to really know what your physical condition is? You really want to know, don't you? That's why you go to a doctor or a physician. So why wouldn't we want the same thing from God concerning our spiritual condition? You know, this is what was happening in this passage. The people were attending temple worship regularly. They were meticulously following forms of worship. But their lives bore no resemblance of godliness. They were doing religious activities, but their hearts were not being changed or transformed. They had the look, but not the substance. They were playing church. And I'm going to be honest with you. That's easy to do. It is. It really is. And they couldn't understand why he wasn't acknowledging their religiosity. You see, it was because they were seeing things from their view and not God's view. And so the Lord, through Isaiah, was revealing his view to them and how he looked at their forms of religiosity. I want to take a few minutes this morning to be real and transparent. Now, I realize this will make some uncomfortable because you're just not used to that. But I truly know that's God's desire. That's God's desire for us. And I hope most of you believe that, you know, God still speaks to people today just as he did in the times this was written. I sensed the Lord this past week asking me to share my heart with the congregation. And so I began to seek him and seek him in that way. And yesterday, as I was putting the message together and in my office and praying, I said, "Lord, if you want me to share my heart, you need to give me the words. I want them to be your words." And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and his response was that I want you to share my heart with them. I've already shared my heart with you, and you're walking in that. So share my heart, and they'll know your heart. Have you ever heard the term, the elephant in the room? Imagine if we had a big elephant standing in one of these aisles this morning, and everybody just walked around it and just ignored it. Some newcomers that would come in would probably think we were crazy, huh? Well, you know, there may be a little bit of an elephant in the room. And that's why I said I'm going to be real and transparent with you. God's been doing a lot of things over the last several months here. And I know for some of us it's been mind-boggling, concerning, maybe disconcerting. But I want you to know that God's doing some things here. And that's okay. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's different. Because his view is different than our view. So I don't speak today to make a case for anything. You need to know that. If that's what you think, you got it wrong. I'm just sharing some things, the things that God's placed in my heart as he speaks. Last November, I was praying and asking the Lord to just reveal what needed to change in order for Heart Cry Chapel to become what he desires it to be. Not what we want. Part of what led me to that was when I looked at our baptisms over the last 3 years. An average of 5 adults, 2 youth, and 8 children over 3 years. And his first response in the Spirit to me was, "You need to change. You need to change." In all honesty, I wasn't shocked. I knew in my spirit there were some things that needed to change in me personally and spiritually and as pastor. And I prayed that day in November, "Lord, do whatever you need to do so this church will be what you want it to be and begin with me." And the only thing I heard from him was, start listening. Start listening. Later in the month, the Holy Spirit had me call Heart Cry to a corporate fast to begin this year. And then to begin to teach on fasting and prayer in December. And so we did that. And as we went through the time of prayer and fasting, I believe God began to do things in the church. I know He was dealing with me. He even had me continue fasting and praying when the corporate fast was over. It was about a month later that God began to move. And I was seeking Him with a heavy heart, because I was concerned about what was happening and what I was seeing begin to happen. And He called me to a place alone with Him. And He said, I did that you're carrying such a burden about. I did that. And He said, and there's more to come. Now sit and listen to me. And He took me to this scripture at that point. And the scripture, I'm going to read it off out of the New Testament, or the New Living Testament, on the screen. Can we put that up, Gracie? This is how the Lord responds. If you return to me, I will restore you, so you can continue to serve me. If you speak good words rather than worthless ones, you will be my spokesman. You must influence them, and do not let them influence you. They will fight against you like an attacking army, but I will make you as secure as a fortified wall of bronze. They will not conquer, for I am with you to protect you and rescue you. I, the Lord, have spoken. As I read that scripture He took me to, I began to weep profusely in my little office at the house. And after the time, the Holy Spirit began to speak. And He said, you are right where Jeremiah was. Only you've not been obedient in many small ways when I've spoken. You've chosen to ignore when you knew I was speaking, because it was easier for you. And these things have been piling up, and now it's going to be very difficult. I continued to weep before the Lord, before God, because He was right, and I knew He was right. He instructed me to take a piece of paper and to begin to write some things down. And He spoke, and I wrote as He spoke. He began to show me His view of the church and how it was out of balance in areas of ministry, reminding me of times when He had said in the past, don't do this, do this, do that, don't do that. And I ignored it just so I could stay in calm water. Calm water is kind of nice, isn't it? And you look at the lake and it's glassy, it's really nice, isn't it? The Lord said to me, this is your fault. I called you to lead this church as I spoke to you, and you haven't. The house has to be in order inside before you go outside. It needs repair and maintenance. The church has been modeling doing for me more than being in relationship with me. I'm beginning a shaking like this church has never seen, and it will be hard, very hard. But you must stand just as I called Jeremiah to stand. And you must trust me like you never have before, as I do what I must do. I wrote those words down as He spoke them. You see, we've been going through a shaking the last few months. And it's been difficult. And I believe with all my heart the Lord has spoken. And He's doing things that we've never seen before. What He expects of us is for us to seek His view. Seek His wisdom, and to trust Him. The Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Because sight sometimes doesn't look real good, does it? What we see doesn't look real good. See, we have to learn that God's view is often, as we read in Isaiah, very different from our view and how things should look. We need to realize that in our individual lives as well as in His church. We need to realize our view won't look the same as His view. You know, as we've seen in Scripture, our thoughts and our ways are not even close to His. He said, as high as the heavens are from the earth. That's a long way. Does he do things that make sense to us, that don't make sense to us? Absolutely. He does do things that don't make sense to us. So we have choices. We have to choose to trust him and be excited that he's doing a new thing. We can seek him in a deeper way, and we can encourage one another and be a part of what God is desiring to do here. Or we can do the opposite of those. Are there unknowns? Yes, there are, of course. But if we knew all the answers now, we wouldn't need God, would we? We wouldn't even need his direction. You see, I'm discovering in a fresh way what it means to rest in him. To rest in him. We need to rest in him. It's good to rest in God. As your pastor, I can honestly say to you, we're in a good place. A very good place. Yes, it's hard. But in our human nature, the truth is, you know, we really don't grow in smooth water very much. We grow spiritually in rough water. That's where growth comes. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us there's a season for everything and every purpose under heaven. A time to break down, a time to build up, a time to tear, and a time to mend. And as I said to you, I can honestly stand here before you and say, we're in a good place. We're in a good place. And as we go through the waters, if we don't look to the shoreline for our answer, but we look to Jesus, we'll be fine. Amen. If we stay on the journey with God, there will be things we won't understand at times. But that's why he gives, he builds, and he strengthens our faith. If we'll trust his view and his wisdom in our lives. And I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about the future because of what the Lord is doing in us so that he can do through us all that he wants to do. And that ought to be our prayer every day. In John chapter 4, there's a passage. Jesus had been talking with a Samaritan woman at the well. And he'd been going through some things and had kind of introduced himself to her as to who he was, the Messiah. And they would begin to talk about worship and how people worshiped in different ways. And he says in verse 23, but the hour is coming and now is. It's here. It's now. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And that's what God wants for us. That's what he desires for us. You know, we're going to narrow the focus down. And Gracie, can we bring that graphic up? We're going to try to narrow our focus on what God wants for us to build our lives, to strengthen our faith, to grow ourselves spiritually. And the basis that you'll see the words highlighted, word, prayer, and worship. That's what we're going to emphasize. We always have, but that's going to be our primary emphasis, the word, prayer, and worship. And then we're going to pray and seek God and discover how to get those things drilled down into the lives of adults, youth, and children at HeartCry. And our venues right now are very simple, and they're not real scattered or whatever. We have Sunday services, we have small groups, and we'll have special events. And those will be the venues that everything will funnel through, but everything will filter and funnel back up to those three words at the top. The word, prayer, and worship. Because that's what grows a church, and that's what grows people. And people are the church. And so when people grow, the church grows. But we got to grow spiritually. The foundation has to be solid. or just like in Isaiah, it doesn't matter how much fasting and how much religious things we do. God doesn't accept it if our hearts aren't being transformed, if our hearts aren't being changed, if we're not being drawn closer to Him and plugged into Him. And so that's what we're going to focus on. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and just focus on Jesus right now. Worship team, if you'll come up. Just, I want you to take a few minutes. We're going to have a time of prayer. And as you pray, I want you to just close your eyes and focus on Jesus and whatever you imagine His face to look like. Focus on Him. I want to ask you a question, and I want everyone to answer it in your own heart. In your own heart, I want you to answer this question. It's not meant to condemn, just to get you to think about things. So think about this. Before you came into church this morning, before you came in here, did you pray for the service? Did you pray for the service and that God would have His way in here? Did you pray for each other and the people that would be coming in here today before you came into this service? And did you pray for the pastors and ministry leaders before you came to church today, before you came into this service? Again, I don't ask you those questions in a condemning manner. Just to ask that you think about those things. Think about the importance of that, of praying for the service and praying that the presence of God would be in our worship service, to speak to us. The importance of praying for each other's struggles, each other's health, each other's spiritual awareness, and those that would come and consider making this their church home. The importance of praying for your pastors and ministry leaders. They just happen to be bigger targets. I know you feel like you're a target of the enemy. And we all are as believers. But in God's kingdom, in the warfare of darkness, your pastors and your ministry leaders just happen to be bigger targets. It's important to pray for us. And so I want to encourage you today to do that right now. If you came in this morning before you came and you didn't pray for the service, you didn't pray for each other, you didn't pray for the pastors and ministry leaders, do that right now. Just take a minute to pray for those. Pastor Bill and the kids' church, Andrea and those workers in Kids Corral. And pray for the people around you. Maybe in front of you or behind you. You don't have to see their face or even know who they are or know what they're going through. But God does. Pray for one another. Pray for each other's health, each other's finances. Pray for each other's spiritual life. And pray for your pastors and ministry leaders. Pray that they would stay strong in the Lord. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Pray for the ministry leaders. That God would stir a hunger and thirst in all of us. A hunger and thirst for Him, for His presence. A hunger and thirst to, as we do ministry, not to do it in and of ourselves or for ourselves, but to do it to the Lord, unto the Lord. And now pray for salvation. For the salvation of someone who is probably here today and doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Pray as Holy Spirit tugs at their heart, they would release themselves to Him. And they would say in their heart, Lord, I need You. Forgive me. I acknowledge You as Lord and Savior. I give You my heart. I give You my life. Pray that someone pray that prayer before they leave here today. And now pray for yourself. Ask the Lord to open the eyes and the ears of your heart. Not just today, but in the days ahead, in the weeks ahead, and in all areas of your life. Ask Him to give you a new revelation of His wisdom, His truth, His Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here and you've never asked the Lord Jesus to do this. Pray by the same faith that salvation comes and ask the Lord Jesus to fill you with His Holy Spirit right now. To fill you with His Holy Spirit. To fill you fresh. Fill you again so that you can receive His divine wisdom, His divine guidance for your life, that you can walk with the power to witness for Him. Our power to believe, our power to witness for Christ comes from His Holy Spirit filling us, gifting us, guiding and directing us. Not our thoughts or our ways, but His ways and His thoughts. By His Spirit, He reveals these things. Father, I thank You today for Your wisdom, for Your ways, and for Your thoughts. And God, even though we struggle at times with those things, we know You're trustworthy. And we know even though we may not understand, we can still trust you. As long as we're walking with you. Lord, we know that what this church may look like a year or 2 or 5 years from now may look totally different than what we imagine. But God, we trust you because we want it to look like what you want it to look like. And we want to be what you want us to be. God, help us to release our religiosity. And just rest in you. And just receive you. And to flow with you. As we trust you with our lives. All areas of our lives. Father, I pray for those that are sick this morning. That may have cancer or heart disease. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch them. I pray for those struggling emotionally or physically in any way. God, I ask you in the name of Jesus to touch them right now. Pray for those who have lost loved ones as recently as this week. Father, use that grieving process to heal and bring a whole, complete healing in the loved ones that are still here. Father, I thank you today for who you are, for you are God, and you are good. We worship you today in spirit and truth. And help us to draw into that form of worship, the only form of worship, in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. If you made any kind of decision today, please take a care card and complete that. Check on the back any decision you may have made. Maybe you just renewed your faith today. Maybe God spoke a word to you today. Just write it on the back of your card so we can pray with you and pray through that with you and for you. We're going to celebrate communion. And I know the offering's already been taken up, so if you want to fill out a care card, if you made a decision, I wish you would. I want to encourage you to do that. And you can just lay it on the stand by the door, hand it to an usher when you leave, and they'll get it in to the office. Those that are assisting with communion today, would you come forward now? Bible says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" In ancient times, this was known as the covenant meal. A covenant meal was shared to confirm and seal the covenant. God gave us a covenant meal. In the new covenant, we come to the Lord's table. We have a meal with him. We renew and we confirm our covenant with him. We renew our surrender and our exchange And we renew our faith and our trust in everything that He's promised and has given us. Every time we come to the table, that we come to take communion, we're renewing that covenant. We are declaring these things by faith. My life is not my own. I give it to You, Lord. I receive Your life, Lord. I receive Your name, Lord. I walk in Your name and not my own. What people think of me doesn't matter. My reputation is not mine anymore. It's Yours. You told me I would even face persecution and hardship. I release that to You, Lord. I walk and stand in faith in Your name. Lord, I surrender my battles to You. I trust You to make a way. I trust You to bring about the good. I trust You to do in me what I cannot do, because it's not my life, it's Yours. You know, if we truly treat communion as a renewal of covenant, every time we approach the Lord's table, the elements, it has a way of keeping a freshness of that covenant that He made with us so long ago. And Paul warns us not to treat it lightly. See, it's a time of renewing covenant. And God wanted us to come continually to renew our covenant constantly, over and again, to remember what He has promised us, what He's given us, and what we release to Him. And when times we find ourselves wavering, struggling, we come back and we yield to the security of the covenant relationship. Communion is for believers, those that have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who have received Christ as their Savior and salvation. And so, Scripture advises us to examine our hearts before we come to the table, before we come and take the elements. And so I want us to take a few minutes, just a minute, to do that now. So if you'll bow your heads and close your eyes and ask Holy Spirit, reveal to me, Lord, anything that stands between me and You so that I can confess it. Father, we thank You that as we come to Your table, we're reminded of what You did for us. We're reminded of the price, the sacrifice that You paid. So great a sacrifice for our sins, to provide our forgiveness, to provide us with eternal life. And so we celebrate You today, Lord. We celebrate what You did. And we renew covenant with You, Lord. We renew our part of that covenant. We give our lives to You fresh and anew today. We give our heart to You fresh and anew today.